But each branch had a knob, flowers, and an almond-shaped bowl to hold the oil. And just for reference, Leviticus chapter 24, verses 2 and 4 can fill in some spots for us. Now, again, it was located, as we saw already, it was located and sat in the holy place. It's on the south side of the holy place, where the table of showbread was on the north side. And on the south side, the lampstand would set across from the table of showbread, and which would be on the left as you face the veil and go through. And again, it's the first item that you would that would catch your eye as you would go in. Just thinking about that, here's another picture of it. What's really interesting about all these things, as we've been looking at it, we've been commenting ourselves, no matter who you pick up, no matter which book you pick up and which diagram you pick up, everybody has a different idea of what the lampstand might look like or what the table of showbread might look like. And so there is no one set picture of exactly what it looks like. So when you see the two different, we've already seen just now, two different pictures, this one and then the other one. The important thing to notice, too, with the lampstand is that the dimensions are never given with the lampstand. Now, Jewish tradition has an idea that it was about 5 foot high and about 3 feet wide, but that's not scriptural. That's Jewish tradition. And scripture doesn't really give us the dimensions of it. It does give us the weight, which would be somewhere between 75 to 90 pounds. All right. So so just to think about that. But there it sat. And we might want to just consider for a moment up here on the screen. We have that the lampstand was made out of one talent of pure gold, hammered, one solid piece, hammered. And I'm sure we'll get into the significance of that. And then it had a central shaft, which we already mentioned, with six branches, three on each side, making the seven-branch lampstand. Each branch had knobs, flowers, and almond-shaped bowls. And I think it's important to mention that it was pure olive oil that they put in. And we'll get to the significance of that as well. The priest's duty. The priest's duty was to trim the wicks and to keep the lampstands lit. And there's some great application that we can come back to on that. The lampstand was designed to provide light for the tabernacle. The lampstand was the first item to see on entering the tabernacle as a reminder to his people that God is light. And I like to think that it's the lampstand that shone onto the thing, onto the table of showbread, and even the incense altar, the very thing, the lampstand lit up the very in type person that delighted the heart of God. It revealed that to us. And of course, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He never draws attention to himself. And we'll come back to that because there's I might just say, whoops. Okay, that's tomorrow. Okay. I might just say there's several ways that we can look at the lampstand. And as we get into a little bit of the history, but just before we do that, there's several ways we can look at the... Sorry, I turned my back on all you folks. There's several ways we can look at the lampstand. First of all, it's a beautiful picture of Christ. That center shaft is a picture of Christ. And we'll probably talk about the fact that it was beaten into one piece. That speaks of, no doubt, his sufferings. And we can develop that a little bit. So, number one, the lampstand speaks of Christ. Number two, the lampstand also speaks of the Holy Spirit, drawing attention to Christ. Then we can look at it from the connection of the lampstand with the Christian in our life. And then we can also look at it from the point of view, the lampstand and cleansing in our life. And we can develop all those things. So, just to think, let's go back. Let's look at the context here in Exodus 25. We've got that as a kind of a background, and we want to try to open it up and reminding ourselves, of course, that well, before we get into that, let's back up and look at a little brief history. First of all, we know from Exodus 37 that God had Bezalel design this lampstand as he did the other parts. And God designed it, and Bezalel made it. And Aaron and his sons would tend the lamp, trimming the wick, filling the oil. The oil the oil for the lamp was pure olive oil, pure oil pressed olives. And so I'm sure there's something there that we can glean, in order for the lamp to burn continually. And I think that's significant. It burned continually. So let's open it up. Maybe Steve and Mark will have a couple of ideas, but let's get some of our thoughts, ours being yours, on the lampstand. Thinking of what stands out to you as you glance back over the verses that we read. What's standing out to you? What jumps off the page to you as something being significant? Please don't all talk at once.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that we see the golden lampstand. We know that in John 1 and in John 3, Christ would say that he is the light of the world. I think it's significant that this was pure gold as opposed to the other pieces of furniture, which were wood overlaid with gold, which speaks of the man aspect in terms of the wood and the gold of his divine character. This being pure gold speaks only of his divine character, with light being a piece of both his creatorial work in terms of God spoke and light came into the world, but it also speaks of his being the judge of the world eventually, because we know that light turns away darkness, and what it says in John 3 is that men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And with Christ being the light of the world, there's the aspect of bringing life, but there's also this aspect of being the ultimate judge. Those are the two things specific to light that spoke to me. One being purely a picture of his divine personhood and creation, and eventually in judgment, with Christ being the light of the world.